Riley's going to read the scripture, and then Sean will come up and preach. But let's pray for Sean just before we start. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for Sean. We thank you for the way that you called him from when he was a young man to follow you. I thank you for his obedience, that through his whole life he has looked to want to serve you and to spread your word. We thank you for the passion he has for your word and the passion he has for your work and for your people. And we pray that today you would speak to, through him powerfully to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put it out from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put it out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats. So they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished with the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him.
Thanks, Riley. Tony read us a lovely verse from Psalm 107, I think it was. About the God's steadfast love enduring forever. Us Methodists are a bit simple. We can't remember the whole verse. So we just say, "God is good." And you say all of the time, "God is good." It's wonderful to be with you this morning, and thank you for the invitation. I was here last week, and is it Kevin? Did I get the name right? Not Kevin.
Stephen.
Stephen was leading. And he said, "We've got some old songs, you probably won't know them." And then I realized I knew them all off by heart. So I'm older than I like to admit. I think I know those songs off by heart because I learned them at that time where I was just discovering the wonder and the awe of worship. And those were the songs we were singing, and I kind of learned them off by heart. It had been a revelation to me that God rescues us, delights in us, and places us in a spacious place, a roomy place, a broad place. That's a verse from Psalm 18. I think it's on the slide. There we go. "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." A spacious place. We read today from Luke chapter 5. The same passage some of you were contemplating yesterday. And there, Simon is invited into that spacious place, that broad place. When he knelt before Jesus, he was kneeling. He didn't quite know to what extent and how broad it was, but he was kneeling in that spacious place before Jesus. And it's the same place, that broad and spacious place, that all of us kneel when we kneel before Jesus, in that broad and spacious place. And to those of you who were in chapel a few weeks ago, Tanya was there, I'm developing those thoughts. You've heard some of it, but not all of it. I'll be a little longer, but it's hot, so I won't be too long. But I just wanted to spend a moment this morning rekindling our awareness of that spacious place that God gives to us, to rekindle that wonder. And the first thing I notice is that this broad place God gives to us, it's deeply personal. It's deeply personal. Simon's name is mentioned 6 times. And think of it. Scripture is God-breathed, right? The way that heaven remembers this story, it's all about Simon and his encounter with Jesus. It's Simon's name is all over it. Jesus calls him by name. Jesus calls us by name. He knows us better than we know ourselves. When Simon knelt before Jesus, he cried out, "Away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner." And that's how he saw himself. "Lord, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough as a father. I'm not good enough as a husband. I'm not even a great fisherman. I fished all night and I haven't caught a thing." Something that I see again and again in the boys at school and in the staff and in every congregation I've ministered to is this nagging fear. I'm not good enough. I don't quite live up to it. And yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in this broad place of Jesus, that's not what defines us. It's not how we've fallen short. It's not that we are sinners. It's not the core of our identity. Simon is seen by Jesus for who he truly is. Not as the sinner, but as the man God will make him to be. And that's why our text, if you listen closely, it included at one point the name Peter. And Simon would eventually be given the name Peter, rock, stone, by Jesus. That'll be the identity that he discovers. Simon doesn't know it yet. He has no idea yet how wonderfully broad that place Jesus is calling him into is going to be. But Jesus sees it. And Jesus knows it. Think about it. In Luke's second volume, the next story, Simon will stand up and preach the first Pentecost sermon. And that's why we're here today. It was the birth of the church. Jesus sees it. Simon can't see it yet. But Jesus sees it. For now, Jesus just says, "Don't be afraid." And I'm wondering this morning how you hear those words, "Don't be afraid." Is it, "Don't be afraid of failing"? Maybe, "Don't be afraid to face the true wonder and awe and beauty of who you truly are. The holiness that I'll call you to be." Or is it, "Don't be afraid to let me into that small space you've boxed yourself into." I wonder how you hear the words. Don't be afraid. For years, I was happy to acknowledge that God loved me. I mean, God is love. Jesus died on the cross because God loves the whole world. But the revelation for me happened one night in Maritzburg at Metropolitan City Church, Metro as we called it. I was there for a new members course. And that evening, the minister sent us into the sanctuary. He told us to kneel at the altar, and he said, "I just want you to imagine something or to think about something. Just kneel there, and I want you to think about this. That God doesn't just love you. God likes you. He likes you." And as I knelt, this revelation opened to me. I entered into that broad space. I had this sudden awareness that God actually liked me, that I might be likable in God's kingdom. My attitude, I think, generally up to that point had kind of been like Simon. "Away from me, Lord, I'm not good enough. There's lots of other really saintly people in the church. I'll just hang about here in the shadows where I belong." But as I knelt, I sensed that deep content that comes from knowing that Jesus delights in us. He delights in me. He delights in you. Delights in you. It's claustrophobic living in a space where we don't feel good enough. But Jesus places us into that broad place where we know he delights in us, that he likes us. And in that broad space, we have the freedom to follow Jesus into discovering who we truly are, even as Simon did. This place we kneel, it's wonderfully personal. Jesus knows us. He calls us by name. He delights in us. It's also a place of plenty. It's a place of plenty. If I'd been Peter and I'd given him Jesus my boat, I might have been thinking, how long is this guy going to go on for? I hope you're not thinking that this morning, but I'm halfway through, more than halfway through. How long is this guy going to be go on for in my boat? Does he know I'm busy? I've got nets to mend, you know? I didn't catch anything last night, so I've got to be on my game tonight. I should have negotiated a higher fee, right? Jesus hadn't negotiated a rental fee for the boat. But he more than compensates Peter, doesn't he? From the abundance of God's creation. Two boats overflowing with fish. With God. In this broad place of God's kingdom, there is always enough. There is an abundance. God is never short. There is plenty. Now don't worry. I'm not going to force a false prosperity gospel onto you this morning. The idea that God's purpose in heaven is to make me wealthy beyond my wildest dreams, that's not a broad place. That's a restrictive place of my own greed. But with God, there is an abundance. And I share this with you not as a teacher, but as a learner. I'm always learning about this. I studied economics, and there, Ecos 101, just about the first lecture, they tell you that in the world, there is an abundance of need and want, but resources are scarce, so we have to look at how to distribute them efficiently. And it's good to study how to steward our resources. But in God's kingdom, there is an abundance. I'm still learning this. Just the other day, we had an SU event at school, and I was hosting the chaplains in my office, and I've bought this little coffee machine, because it's the only way people will come and visit the chaplain, if I give them coffee. So I invested in this coffee machine, and I'd given the chaplains, I showed them how to use it, and I left them with my, it's a pod machine, right? And you know the Jacob's pods, those are the high value ones, right? I only bring them out for special guests. Next time, Chris. So I got back to my office because I'd been in the chapel. The chaplains had been fellowshipping, and they'd finished the whole box. 20 pods. I threw it in the bin, and I was calculating in my head, that's like 7 rand a pod. $140 in one night. And as the empty box hit the bin, it came to me that I just preached a few days before that on God's abundance. And it was like God said to me, didn't you buy the machine to learn about generosity? And isn't that such a big price to pay for fellowship, for sharing of ideas, for laughter? So I'm very much a learner in this whole idea of God's abundance. 20 years ago, I was at a Methodist synod. I don't recommend it, if you can avoid it. A man was there sharing his testimony. He was about to be ordained as a minister. And my ears suddenly perked up when he said that, because when you're about to be ordained, you have to give a testimony of how God has taken you through the journey, right? And so in his testimony, he described how he started off at seminary and he had no money. So he looked at the budget and started writing letters to cancel his retirement annuities. But he never had to send the letter. 3 years later, I was in the exact same position. Did the budget, no matter what I did, it wasn't balancing. Discarded the spreadsheet. I wrote the letter to cancel my RAs. And I thought to myself, imagine I never have to send this letter. But that was just for that guy. never had to send the letter. Somehow, through the generosity of God's people, God provided. There's an abundance in God's kingdom. And this generous abundance, it encompasses everything. God is generous with patience, with kindness, with grace, with affirmation. I think what brought me finally to my knees before Jesus is the church I was visiting. The people there were so generous in every way. Kind, grace-filled, patient. It's really easy for me to see how Crossways could become that broad place where everyone entering these doors would encounter this plenty, this abundance, just a generosity of grace and kindness. To be with Jesus, it's personal. We enter this broad place of plenty. It's also a place of purpose. From now on, said Jesus to Peter, you will fish for people. God's thrown the net of heaven out into the earth and is taking a great catch. And he invites us to be part of that work. Whether you're a fisherman or a finance analyst, a doctor or a patient, a student or a teacher, a plumber or a laborer, a farmer or a property developer, God includes us in this great mission. We are set free from a small place that's all about me to a broad place that's all about God and what God is doing in the world. And for some people, it does mean a literal, you know, leaving the boats and following Jesus. But for all of us, to follow him means we take up the cross and follow. We deny ourselves and follow. But the way I like to think of it is, as an economist, what I'm going to gain. And the gain is amazing in this abundant place. I think one of the greatest blessings for me is I follow Jesus, is getting a ringside seat into seeing the work that he's doing in the world. The other night, a boy messaged me at school and said, can I share my story at CF? Well, that brings joy to a chaplain's heart, doesn't it? And he arrived and he'd set up a whole PowerPoint to share his story. And as I listened to him, I could see how what we saw with Peter kneeling in the broad place was happening in his life for him. He didn't know who Jesus was before coming to school. In fact, just before coming to Hilton, he thought Jesus was a girl because he had long hair. He'd seen a picture and he'd asked his mom, who is she? So he knew nothing. And he's come to this school and he's discovered Jesus, who knows him by name and calls him. As he shared his story and he shared so deeply and vulnerably, you could see God's abundance in his life. And he's doing the work of an evangelist. He's brought his young brother to Jesus. There, he's sharing in the purpose of those nets. And as I locked the doors and switched off the lights after CF, I said to the Lord, why me? I'm not worthy of this. Why do I get to experience? There's many, many better people that could do this than me. Why me? I don't deserve to witness your glory in these boys' lives like this. I was like, Simon, you know, away from me, Lord. I'm a sinner. But Jesus, he was already out the door speaking about casting nets into deeper water. I didn't have time to feel sorry for myself. God rescues us and he places us in a spacious place. He brings you into a spacious place because he delights in you. As I pondered this idea of kneeling before Jesus in this spacious place, one of those really old songs came to me. Humble King, oh, kneel me down again. Maybe you know it. And the team will come and lead us. And I pray as we sing this song, kneeling in our hearts, that you would meet with Jesus and just allow him to bring to mind again for you how broad and wonderful is that spacious place, how much he delights in you, and to do for you what only he can do in this moment. Amen.